Hello, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, The Gun Rack. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Gun Rack, Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast. First, I'm going to talk to you guys about some of the exciting things going on at SDI. The last time I talked to you guys, we had just unveiled the new branding and new website. I'm so glad we got to share that with you, got to talk with Jennifer and Chris about it. And since then, it's been a little quiet over here, and I just want to take a second and apologize for that. It's been very busy here, but you guys deserve to get it every week. So, this week we will have one not only on Monday, but one for July 4th for the holiday just for you guys. Today we're going to do a news episode that just focuses on some of the current events that I have found around the internet, some historical oddities, and it just seemed like a fun thing to get to share with you guys. First, we're going to get the biggest and most important news out of the way. Cam Newton has signed with the New England Patriots. What does that have to do with firearms, you ask? Well, have you seen his arm? No, I'm just kidding, of course. But as a Patriots and Panthers fan, I felt obligated to say something. For those of you who don't care for the Patriots, I'm so sorry you have to see us in the playoffs again. Now, for the news. First, starting tomorrow, actually, June 30th, the United States Army is off to the races. The Army is making a huge push to meet its strength goal of 485,000 by the end of September. And one of the ways they're doing that is by launching a massive virtual hiring campaign from June 30th to July 2nd. And this is according to military.com. If you want to know more about this story than what I'm about to relay to you, this is going to be in a blog post published shortly. So what's the goal for this new drive? They're trying to bring in 10,000 new recruits in 3 days. That is 3,333 a day, and then one extra hiding in there somewhere. In order to meet the goal, and in order to fill some of the MOS gaps in attendance that they are trying to meet. That was a verbal vomit, but you know what I mean. In order to fill the MOSs where they find themselves lacking, they're authorizing the following bonuses for 9 MOSs, according to military.com. So, smallest, 74 Delta, that's chemical, biological, radiological, excuse me, and nuclear specialist. That's up to $7,000 just by itself. 19 kilo, that's M1 armor crewman, up to $12,000. 89 Delta, that's explosive ordnance disposal specialist, up to $15,000. 13 Mike, multiple launch rocket system crew member, up to $24,000. 11X, infantry, up to $27,000. That one surprised me. 13J, couldn't think of a fun one for J. Fire control specialist, up to $28,000. 14P, as in panda, air and missile defense crew member, up to $33,000. 37 Foxtrot psychological operations specialist. Shout out to my dad. That's what he did during his time. Up to $40,000. I am pretty confident my dad did not get that much money in the early 90s. 35P. We're going to go with Panda again. Cryptologic linguist. Up to $40,000. The Army is also reportedly going to be giving out $2,000 bonuses during the 3-day nationwide campaign. If recruits sign up during those days, I'm assuming with the ones I just mentioned, that's a combination of the two, not adding another $2,000. But still, $40,000 is just above the basic pay for a year's work as an E7. So that's no joke. The Army is also offering, in place of a cash enlistment bonus, student loan reimbursement up to $65,000, depending on the given MOS. So, while I imagine a lot of our students and a lot of our listeners are veterans, holy crap, guys. If you know someone that's interested in joining the Army, maybe the next 3 days is not the worst time to do it. All right, next story. The last living desert rat has passed away at 107 years. Jimmy Sinclair was born in 1912, and at the time, the world population was an estimated 1.8 billion. The first television was 15 years away, and the Titanic was making headlines around the world that spring for all of the wrong reasons. Jimmy Sinclair was a Scotsman, and at the time of his death, he was both the last surviving desert rat and the oldest Scotsman alive, which is pretty unbelievable. He was raised by his grandparents because his mother died pretty much very shortly after he was born. He joined the Territorial Army in 1931, and then he joined the Royal Artillery during the Second World War. He served with the Chess Hunt Troop of the 1st Regiment Horse Artillery in the 7th Armored Division. That's according to War History Online. His exploits earned him medals for his actions during the Siege of Tobruk, the Battle of El Alamein, the Battle of Monte Cassino, where he would be wounded. He reportedly refused to wear any of the medals he won in honor of the soldiers who didn't make it back. Those who knew him loved him, and those who called him friend included the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, the heads of multiple charities for Scottish veterans, a duchess, and, funnily enough, Manfred Rommel, which is Field Marshal Erwin Rommel's son, who he maintained a friendship with all the way until Manfred passed away in 2013. When he asked what the secret of his long life was, he simply replied, "Johnny Walker." And I can't end it any better than that. He took care of it himself. But Jimmy Sinclair, rest in peace. Thank you for everything you did for us and for your homeland. Speaking of history, this past week in history, it's about 8 days ago now at the time of this recording, William Ruger was born. Were he still alive, he would be 104 as of June 21st. He was born in Brooklyn, and of course he went on to help found Sturm and Ruger, which is one of the great firearms behemoths of the past 100 years. So, 1949, he'd been making hand tools for a few years, but business was not doing well. He was about ready to shut things down. He was 40K in debt. Met a guy named Alexander Sturm, and as Ammo Land reports, Ruger showed Sturm a prototype of something new he was working on, harking back to his previous life with the military and arms development. Sturm liked what he saw and agreed to bankroll the project with $50,000. That's a lot of money in 1949, let alone now. Immediately, the two men began laying the foundation for what would become one of the largest firearms companies in the U.S. The first Ruger factory was in a small, unassuming building, affectionately dubbed the Red Barn, across the street from a railroad depot. The company's first offering was equally unassuming, a semi-automatic 22 caliber pistol designed for plinking. It would become known as the Ruger Standard, and this bit of the story I love. So, by early October 1949, the first plinksters were off the line and making their way to customers. By January 1950, more than 1,000 had been shipped out already. By February 1950, 1 month later, more than 5,000 were on back order, and by that summer, the backlog was up to 9,000 guns because they could only produce 1,000 a month. They were wildly popular immediately, and the rest is history. Alexander Sturm, passed away in 1951. But the dream he helped to realize has helped put six shooters, plinksters, hunting rifles, sporting rifles, pistol caliber carbines into the hands of millions. I know myself, I hunt with a Ruger American Ranch in 7.62x39, and for a cartridge that's not famed for its accuracy, I can do just about anything I want with that platform, and that is all Ruger's doing. It's a gorgeous piece of equipment. But, seriously, Ruger's make for really high-quality rifles. I know they're pistols historically. Some people love them, some people don't like them. The Ruger American, actually, I've really enjoyed shooting, as well as the Security 9, but that's just personal opinion and is not SDI formal opinion. I had a lot of fun. I have not yet picked up a Ruger that I've not really enjoyed. And, of course, the Ruger AR-556, wildly popular platform. So, oh, yes, this is one of my favorites. Sorry, I'm looking at my docket in front of me. This is very exciting. So, you are discovering this as I am, because this was, as I was putting my notes together, I saw this in my newsfeed, and I was like, I have to add this. So, a bunch of gamers are raising money to save a World War II museum that honors the soldiers they play as online. That is exactly the kind of story I want to hear about all of the time. This is according to Task and Purpose. Video game enthusiasts and history buffs are coming together to save a museum in Europe that commemorates the sacrifice and service of the World War II soldiers they play as online. The campaign is being spearheaded by Easy Company 506th PIR, a gaming clan for tactical shooters Hell Let Loose and Postscriptum, and aims to raise funds to help keep the Airborne Museum at Hartenstein in Oosterbeek, Netherlands, and I'm just hoping I pronounced that right, afloat as it weathers the financial fallout of the current crisis. The campaign was originally reported by PC Gamer's Jonathan Boulding, good job, who spoke with one of the clan's leaders, who said, one of our members came to us about this Airborne Museum, and that he added that the pandemic had hurt the museum badly financially. They set up a GoFundMe campaign with an initial goal of 2,000 euros, and the campaign passed that very, very quickly to date. The gamers have raised, and I'm actually going to look it up in live time for you, whoa, 11,580 euros for the museum, which commemorates commemorates Operation Market Garden and once served as the headquarters for the British 1st Airborne coming during the Battle of Arnhem. That is really something else. 11,580 pounds to preserve heritage and sacrifice of soldiers during World War II. Good on you, gamers. It's very rare to see that kind of thing. It's very common to have that sentiment, but to see it pushed through like that is, wow, that's something else. I hope they get, that's only from 426 donors. That's like $30 a piece. Nice job, guys. All that to say, if you can go to gofundme.com/f/save-the-airborne, AIRBORNE-museum, you will see it, and maybe you can donate some as well. I know that I will be considering doing that as soon as we wrap up here. So, next one I shared is not even a news story, it's just something amazing I've seen. Someone developed a 9mm hand crank Gatling gun fed from Glock magazines. I don't know what to think about that. I'm not sure what use that has aside from being awesome, but I know I've seen, and I'm sure you guys have seen at gun shows from now, or every now and then, that 22LR platforms tend to get this kind of treatment. To see it from a 9mm, you'd have to have a huge magazine to get that to work. I don't know how that works on the range, aside from the fact that maybe you're just changing out magazines every 5 seconds. I don't know, but still, very cool, cool innovation. All right, now for my favorite of this list. What guns are crushing sales during a record time to purchase and sell firearms, which is 2020? As you all know, we're in a very weird world right now. Tension is high for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, and we wish nothing but safety and health to all of our listeners and their friends and families. But when things are tense And when people are home with nothing to do, they tend to turn to their bucket list items, right? A lot of people, that's building fences or other home improvement projects or a super deep clean. But for a lot of people, the bucket list item is purchasing a firearm. I probably know half a dozen friends that that is their goal. And no matter how much I try to push them, they just won't do it. So a lot of those people that just haven't done it in the past are finally getting around to it. And the American Rifleman claims that there was an 82% year-over-year increase in May's 2019 and 2020. people have time, and people are finally getting to these domestic bucket list items. So for a lot of people I know, this is their goal, but the specific firearms they're trying to get are all over the place, and I thought it was interesting to go take a look and see, according to GunBroker.com, what is selling. So what is selling? According to American Rifle, who is operating off of data they have received from GunBroker, there are handguns are the order of the day. I was going to come up with a better way to say that, but no. Handguns are the order of the day. Anyone want to guess what the best-selling handgun is within the category? This is just semi-automatics. It is not the Glock 19. I'm so glad you guessed that. It is the Sig Sauer P320, the wildly successful handgun platform that for many were very cautious about it when it first came out. That actually was my first semi-automatic handgun I ever purchased, was the P320. Which probably dates me as a younger person, if you can't hear that from the liveliness in my voice. But the first firearm I owned, the first firearm I ever carried, was the Sig Sauer P320C. And that is, the P320 platform is selling best in the handgun category. And the handgun category is outselling long guns at a ratio of 2-1. The Glock 19 is in second place there, and the M&P 9 Shield from Smith & Wesson is in third, which is a really good lineup. That tells me a lot of people are purchasing the Glock 19 and the P320 are pretty famous for their staying power as first purchases. And you can, I mean, we were already talking about that, but it is pretty evident there. And I would guess with the M&P 9 Shield that we're getting some people learning about concealed carry for the first time as well. If you are learning about concealed carry for the first time, just so that I have said this, be sure to go, first of all, get all the education you need, and then go get a good belt and holster. For the love of all that's good, that's not a step you can miss. Then go practice. Okay, now that that's been said. Also, my heart was broken that there were no CZs on the list, but we can't all have what we want. As far as revolvers go, the Colt Python was actually the top seller, which is kind of absurd to me because that's such an expensive firearm. The Python was followed by the Heritage Rough Rider and the Ruger Wrangler, both in 22LR. That's a lot of sales, though. Long guns, totally different look. Some different manufacturers took the lead in there. The Ruger AR-556, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, sold best out of the semi-automatic rifles. And the Benelli M4 led semi-automatic shotguns in sales. And the Mossberg 590 led pump-action shotguns. It's really hard to beat a good Mossberg. The Benelli M4, I think, is actually featured in John Wick, now that I think about it. Maybe people are seeing movies and liking the liking what's being shown off. I don't know. That's just random conjecture. The Benelli M4 is an amazing semi-automatic shotgun. If you've not had the chance to try one out, do so. You will not regret it. Now, my curious, the story I wrote about this, excuse me, I wrote or asked listeners if they could only pick two of these firearms, which they would be. And I'm going to play that game myself here because I can, and you are a captive audience. First, out of the three semi-automatic handguns, it's really hard to go wrong with any of them, but I am in North Carolina. I've got my my concealed carry permit, which would probably leave me to the M&P 9 Shield. Very slim, very popular a lot of no frills, just super easy. That's kind of my look there. And of course, you have to have some kind of handgun, so that's an easy one. And then I think for a long gun, the temptation is, of course, to go right into the AR-556, but I think I would go with the 590. My first firearm ever was at Mossberg 500, and I sold it, and I will never, ever, ever forgive myself for that. And a Mossberg 590 is just even a little bit nicer, in my opinion anyway. So that would probably be what I'd do. M&P 9 Shield, Mossberg 590, that's less of a sporting package as it is my, like a EDC slash hunting, I guess. Hunting and, I guess you could do sporting with a Mossberg 590. Anyway, before I showcase how little I know about the 590 anymore, I'm going to say that's it for the gun rack. This was a little bit of a news run. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I was not sure if we would have enough current events to cover, and boy, howdy, did we. And we didn't even have to go into any of the depressing things that we're working through every day. So for all of you out there on the front lines, working essentially and making things happen, we appreciate you. We support you. We love you guys. Stay safe out there, and we will see you at the range. Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school located at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona, and is accredited by the DEAC. For more information, please call 480-314-2138 or visit www.sdi.edu.